last few weeks and on the word grace and a three-dimensional grace that Paul teaches out of the epistles that we see expressed and demonstrated throughout the whole Bible. And we see a double grace or a grace that's been given. And we've had a lot of play on words, and we've had a lot of different people minister it in different revelations that they might have. But truly, we see it in the book of Zechariah as a prophet speaking to a people who had started a work and not completed it. We see the children of Israel, God's remnant, Judah per se, into the land again, out of Babylon. And stopped their mission in which God sent them to do. And God raised up some prophets. Those minor prophets were all raised up for this very purpose, is to bring a conclusion to the book of, to the Old Testament. And they were heralding a word from God to become what He has called them to become. And they responded. And in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah told the king, hallelujah, that you'll see a completion to this temple. And so God has raised up people. But we give them names and we give them characters. But really what they've done is they've taken a burden of the Lord for His people. And the one thing that that if I'm understanding the Lord properly and correctly this day, is He's putting a burden upon me for His word to call forth the sons of God into maturity. There's a call for it. There's actually a call to take and be birthed and I, you know, that's not diminished and it's not something that has to be. But just as much as you have to be born in order to see the completion, in order to see what God has intended for all mankind, you must come to a place of maturity where now you take on the responsibility of a father. And what a father does is they don't just plant seed. They see it to a place of maturity or to a place where now as it reproduces after its kind, it has a skill, it has an ability, it has a character about them that will go on from one generation to the next generation. That's what a father's responsibility is. Not how many kids they have, but how many kids develop to be a good father as well. And so, this word for grace is a pretty good word. Let's go down to the definition of it. Let's go down the next one. It's to gratify, but it also means the favor of the Lord. And it's kind of neat because we'll see that we use sometimes different words just to bring different emphasis on things. But we find out that the grace here has many different faces. That it takes on its property or its characteristics in different words as well. And also in people. And we'll look at it in Scripture and see some things happening to the Word. And then see the change of character or see the change of faces in which this character wants to come out and be known. And we talked about a little bit about it for Sunday school class. That was a good question. What kind of life are you talking about? What life died? And the truth of the matter was that it was the spirit life in man. A God's spirit life in man. That in order for our spirits to be eternal, we have to take on a God-like nature. And believe it or not, the responsibility is still going to be upon each one of us how we react. Because we are not just one thing. We're not just spirit. We're spirit, we're a body. And in this spirit and body, there's a psuche man, a mind, will, and emotion that actually is the gives us all of our functions. Take away your mind. What do you got? Take away your emotions, and what do you have? Let me tell you something. We don't like to talk about it, but people that do very violent things don't have any emotion about it anymore. Don't try and let's not segregate what God has done, but let's learn how to let this grace move into all three parts. Now, and we're talking about, and give me the next slide there, because also it's favor, it's a divine influence, glory to God. What's that sound like? What's a divine influence sound like? Like the Spirit of God that lives within us. A Holy Spirit that lives within us. This is the grace. But then it says, no, go on a little bit further. I want to, on the next slide. Hallelujah. Is mine up yet? Glory to God. We've dealt now with number one, the individual believer, and we just touched him. I just see how God wants to continue with this. And then the second one we've dealt with is the local fellowship of believers, or the local church. And then what I want to do today, and we'll just see how the Lord continues to work it, is to see a church universal, or something that goes beyond even our local bodies, or even if you could say your local family, or your genealogy, or your bloodline. And how will you respond then? And what will be your reactions when things are done different? When people think different? When people don't do it like you do it? And so, honey, if we'll go to the sixth, number six, I think. No, number six. Go down to number six. There should be 8 slides on there. Seven or eight. Go all the way to the bottom almost. We're into the number three, honey. Are you going? Hallelujah. I'm sorry, just give us a minute here. Okay, let's take one more slide. Well, yeah, let's start there. This'll just be a little run over. We've already done some of this last week. But I really want to make an emphasis here, because I feel that it's so important. Let's go to Ephesians, honey. Ephesians 1. Let's go to Ephesians 1. Let's take a look at that. Just for a few minutes. It's really cool. You should take these notes down so you can take them home and read over the text, and then think on them. I think what we do too much is we don't even think about anything. We just read it, and we become so lazy we don't even have to think on nothing. We want somebody to think for us. And then we just repeat what they say. That doesn't give you any responsibility of thought or ingenuity of whatsoever, or your giftings working inside of you. Now, I believe that you should take a lot of information in, but I do believe that you have a voice, that you have an ability to spiritually and divinely understand things. And that's where study, that's where searching a thing out comes. That's where setting your mind to things. Because, believe it or not, there's more inside of you than what you might believe. If you've been sitting in church and you've been hearing the Word of God, it's time that it begin to congeal within your intelligence to where you begin to interact and act out those things that you believe. If you don't, you really don't believe them. Paul, we'll start with one. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I'm going to be doing a series in Revelation, and one of the things that we will be dealing with a lot is this particular book, because all seven churches are actually come out of this particular church. And so we see that Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And believe it or not, that's what, if he's called us out to call us in, that's what you are. He's called you to be a representative of who he is. Not just like anybody else, but like you are becoming. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Okay, let's go to two. Let's read this a little bit. And this word grace is hallelujah. I'll read it and then I'll get it for you. Hallelujah. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see what's happening here? God's favor be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Three. Blessed be the God of our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessing, where? In how do we get there? In Christ. Is Christ in you? What is Christ in you? The hope of glory. Are you hoping that you're going to have glory?
Yes. Amen.
Then how are you going to get it? Is it just going to come because you ask Jesus in your heart?
No.
Is he going to have to be in your heart in a way in which he begins to declare and begins to bring out his glory? And he does that in many ways, doesn't he? Not just one way or two ways or three, but, you know, when I quit having pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I experienced some glory. Now, you can do what you want or say what you want or believe what you want, but the truth of the matter is, if you're there, you need relief. Because you can't sleep or nothing. And you can talk all you want. So you need a touch from God. You need something that will take you out of that particular area that's got your attention. And so that glory of God comes. Hallelujah. And sometimes you have to tarry and wait for it. Mine was almost 4 months. Whether you believe it or not, I pray you don't have to find out. Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Honey, come on, next one. according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Period. What kind of love? What's that mean? What do you think it means? What's godly love? 1 Corinthians 13. If you want an explanation of agape love, because that's the word there. So, has He determined, is it in His best interest that we actually come up, our love comes up a level or two? It vaunteth not itself. Doesn't puff itself up. It thinketh no evil. Come on. How can this happen? Through His grace, His favor, His infilling of His Spirit within us that now enables us. It gives us the favor in which we can begin to lay hold of it by faith. And you know what? The situation is, hallelujah, the things are that you have to begin to want them enough to express them. We want to think that God's grace will cover over everything when we know better. That's pretty bad to think that. We have a whole bunch of people that are preaching this, and it's not true. Let's go again. He's predestined us before the foundation. He's already got this all worked out. 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ Himself, who is the one that's taken on the responsibility? What's it say there? Who's the one that takes on the responsibility of adoption? Jesus. Amen. According to His good pleasure and His will. Whose? Jesus. Come on. Next one, hon. To the praise of the glory of His grace, again, same word, God's favor, wherein He hath made us acceptable in the Beloved. You are acceptable. Now we like to, you know, we like to get religious about everything, and Satan, he's probably one of the best religious people religious spirits in the heavens. In what he does, if you have anything inside of you that is accusing you, cast it out of you. Jesus did not come with accusations. Amen. He said, you come to me, I'll take care of it. And I've given you an earnest, I've given you the deposit of the Holy Spirit. If anybody here has not experienced the Holy Spirit in their life, I'm going to encourage you to go after that. To go after that Holy Spirit of life that's in you. Okay, the next one. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us acceptable unto the Beloved, or in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to what? Hallelujah. So, where's your... Can he save you to the utmost? Can He save you from your sin? Yeah. Did He say that that's a willful sin? Did He say that was a sin, omission, or commission? Did He say any of that?
No.
So if you ask Him, will He do it?
Yes, He will.
Is it His purpose to do that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come on, I know we know these things, but sometimes we get caught up and we forget. Because sometimes we get stuck in a sin and we can't seem to get out of it. Sometimes it's inherited, you know, like a real bad temper or something like that. And we think that, well, it's not gone yet, but you didn't count all the days it was gone. And that he had to actually intervene for that to happen. He said, though it tarry, wait for it. Please, take what you have and live it. Live it with, to its full measure. Hallelujah. And let it live out in your life until there is no more of that left in you. Don't be satisfied until that happens. But know this, that he has forgiven us according to his riches, to the riches of his grace, his favor. And he has all things. 8. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. How did that happen? How did wisdom, you know, and prudence come into play? How many know what wisdom is? Okay, what's prudence? I love it. Can anybody tell me real quick? Just Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? What's that take? How many know something that can't wait to tell it? Everybody. Especially when it's new. And I mean, we have shipwrecks all over the place. And we don't know why, because it's truth. And we come up with it. You know, it finally came to our head. But we weren't considering anything or anybody else. In this manner, if there's no basis for understanding, how would we even think that they could understand that? So prudence comes in. And what that means is it's able to drop a word without any type of explanation whatsoever. And in the midst of it, prudence. What, son? Be good. That's good, son. Because you are a good boy. Yes, you are. And that's being prudent. That's a good definition for prudence, is being good. Isn't it? That was good. That was excellent. Yeah. I love it. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to the next one. Hallelujah. Having made known unto us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Are we getting the picture? It's not a difficult lesson this morning. But I believe that if we'll take it to heart, it will work for us for the rest of our life, starting now. These are properties or characters or characteristics of behavior that will enhance you to bring you success in every way. Not only for yourself, but it will actually empower others to do the same, even though they haven't had the study or the definitions given, yet through your examples, they now can begin to demonstrate a wisdom with prudence. Pretty cool, huh? Because I'll tell you what, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing what? We're all supposed to be getting saved to go to heaven? Is that what the Bible says?
No, it does not. Manifest as the children of God.
Where?
In the earth.
In heaven after we die, I know. Because he's going to take care of everything on the way up. You see? We're going to live like, you know, little devils on here. But on the way up, he's going to take care of everything. And then we're going to go into the heavens. And we're going to be sons of God. That is crazy. That's absolutely crazy. No, he didn't even call us. You know, I like I like our Sunday school class, Sunday school lesson a little bit. Because we go back to Genesis 1 where God created Adam. And when he did that, he commissioned him. He gave him purpose.
Yes, he did.
He gave him direction.
Yes.
He gave him what his purpose on earth was to be. And they didn't just come in and whatever will be. No, he said, look at Adam. I want you guys to take and populate the earth, but I want you to take it and rule and reign over it and the animals and the sky and everything that we haven't even yet considered. Yet because we haven't yet got much too far off the earth. But in the midst of it, he commissioned man, but he knew that man would do it. That's the whole thing. My God. You know, I was thinking, I love this. Is this all right? Hallelujah. I love it. I was thinking about the Tower of Babel. Of Babel. You know, when God said, you know, man can do anything now. They put their mind to.
Yes.
Did he not?
Yes.
Well, he had to be kidding.
No, he wasn't kidding.
Well, it was so serious that he did make a division in their language. Slow them down. Why? Because they didn't have the Spirit of God in them. But Jesus was coming down the pike. Born of a woman. A man born of a woman. Because he... And then he put us in right alignment with God. Man and God. He put us in the proper alignment, beloved. Father and Son. Whew. And it had to be the same Spirit to get the work done. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us. Whether we believe it or not, whether we act like it or not, or whatever, as we continue to take and put on the mind of Christ, that doesn't mean constant knowledge, but it doesn't mean no knowledge either. But it means putting on a wisdom with a prudence. An ability to know how to do something properly and then to know how to do it in a right behavior. Because what needs to be done has got to go beyond just knowledge of a person. It has to be collectively brought together, and it becomes a lot bigger and a lot more effective and a lot more efficient. But now the dependencies are increasing. The body of Christ now, the different members, hallelujah. It never was that a pastor should be the head of a church and that's how the church is run. That's crazy. But it's as every part comes together that there comes a unity of spirit and the church begins. 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth. Now, And so that kind of helps us out, doesn't it? Do you believe that Paul is in Christ?
Yes.
Well, there are those that don't live on the flesh, that don't live in the flesh body, that are in the heavens. And you know, I'm kind of thinking that it's probably the third heavens. Where no principalities, no powers, no dominions above him lives or beneath him. He is the ultimate. Let's go on. I'm just going to leave it. Hallelujah. 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All this we begin to see that the Lord Jesus is definitely made a determination here to this church of Ephesus and is bringing out a revelatory word here of positioning us now in Christ, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say that Paul here is addressing the church as a not just as an individual, but now as a fellowship, and we'll see later on how this fellowship branches out and becomes the church. Okay, the next one. Counsel of his own will. See, he's taking his own counsel. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. What should we be? What should you be?
Praise of his glory.
Are you the praise of his glory?
Yes.
Can you say yes? Hallelujah. Even if you doubt it sometimes, can you say yes and believe it? Because as you say yes and as you believe it, you will receive it. You won't receive anything you don't believe. You'll be disappointed. But if you believe it enough, you're going to receive it. Now, it may not be exactly like you find out that you thought it was. That's a different story. But nonetheless, you're his glory. I do believe that the more you take on, the more you receive. Can I hear an amen? How many want the gifts of God? All the gifts of the Spirit, all nine gifts of the Spirit. How many want them? Then you've got to go after them. You have to find out how they work. You have to find out what to do. And then you have to have the faith enough to do them. And as you will do them, they become yours. See, one wonderful thing about this Christian life, he never takes away anything that he gives you. He's never going to take one thing away from you, Jerry. Not one thing. But he will add to you as you apply yourself. And we find out that our abilities that we have increase. We found out that there's a lot of things in this love that it can reach beyond my heart. It can reach beyond my influence. If I will let it, it will go to a complete stranger. And as we begin to let it go towards other people, God is going towards other people that would have no other idea or ability or means in which to touch him. It's not up to us to develop people as much as it is up to us to love them to the point where, do you think that God could love me, hallelujah, like you're talking about you love? Oh, yes, and more. Well, you don't know me. I have people tell me that all the time in my witnessing. I said, I don't really care. about what you've been or even who you are, but I know that there's a God that loves you and He will make changes. We need to have changes made in our life. Father, you help Barb to be wise. Glory to God. Give me the next one. In whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you see what's happening here? Isn't this cool? It's like, you know, if you need written documentary, this is it. You know, if you say, well, I just don't know how to say it or that, well, just read the word to them. Now, when I cut a covenant with somebody or I buy something under contract or that, then I'm man enough to make them be liable for their agreement. And when I do that, I'm never disappointed. Are you? Push on God's covenant. He wants to help us. He wants to bring us further. Glory to God. So when it seems like an impossible task and you can't help yourself, push on Him. Challenge Him. That's what He wants us to do. That's your right. As you do, you will see He will come through. He will make good His word. But if we won't, and that's where courage comes in. I just was in a place to get my Kubota fixed, and somebody had fixed it, and they didn't fix it right, so he didn't want to fix it because they didn't fix it right. Still under warranty. I just said, are you a certified Kubota dealer? Yes. Is this vehicle under warranty? Yes. Are you refusing to fix what's wrong under warranty? No, but you pay for it and then you go after that other dealer. I said, no, that's not how it works. But see, it could be. If I was persuaded in that kind of a sensible, reasonable thing, he said, I won't get paid. I said, I'll tell you what I will do. You do what you have to do, and I will pay for it if they don't. You'll see. Are you kidding this? Because it's very, very important, hallelujah, that you don't miss this about His grace. The grace is all offered. It's all given to you. Glory to God. It's all at your disposal. But when things happen, and things always happen, now's the time for you to push against the contract. Now it's time for you to stand up and not be mean. And this is where prudence comes in. To do it in a rightful manner. To find out if there is something lacking that you need to do first. But when it lines up, beloved, then God will come to you with the answer. And you need to know that, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to be places where it's just going to be you and Jesus, and you're going to need to hear Him for sure. You're going to need to know what He says, and then you're going to have to know how to respond in an instant.
Yes.
If you want to see the grace of God working.
Amen.
If you don't do that, you won't see His grace working. So He sealed us now. Man, is it so good. Hallelujah. Our salvation is more than what we thought going to heaven. That's not, you know, and I'm not against heaven. I believe in heaven. Glory to God, I believe that there's Christ in heaven. already redeemed men and women in heaven. Hallelujah. But I believe that we need to be redeemed here on earth as well. It's so much so that God will not discriminate or make one higher than the other in Christ. It isn't when we depart, or necessarily how we depart, is that we know that we are in Christ and we are now taking a position as the Son, hallelujah, and doing what we can do as the Son. Knowing that we need, there are many sons that are going to come to what? To His glory. Meaning that I need you and you need me. And that's when you're going to see. You know, now we're talking about Romans 8 and 28, where the whole creation is groaning. You know what they're groaning for? Because there's a whole heavenly host that needs deliverance. And guess who's going to deliver them? The sons of God. But you see, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer my will, but His will. It's not all this I stuff is gone. And we're not into a gene group now. We are into God's group now. Hallelujah. Where we won't do anything but what the Father says. We won't do anything but what I see the Father say and do. And you know, when I remember when I was younger, that was hard for me to swallow. Was that for you? I'm just being honest. Living in a world of working in the field of everything. And you know, I mean, your tempers and stuff sometimes don't exactly line up. And sometimes you get pushed in a corner where sometimes you flare out and it's not God coming out of you, it's the devil. I mean, come on. I don't know if anybody else has been there, but I've been there a few times. In fact, as one time I'll remember, I was under so much pressure because they were always looking at me about the Lord. I said, "What do you think I am, Christ Jesus?" I know, I'm sorry, but I'm just being honest with you.
It's all right,
Dad. Hallelujah. Because I hadn't yet known the things I know now. And I don't mean by just head knowledge, but I mean to be able to bring these things under subjection and under control. I still got to work on stuff.
Amen. Me too.
But I'm in Christ now. And I need you guys. We all need one another. And because we're all developing differently in different areas.
That's true.
You know, I had him do the surgery. I'm glad I had a guy who just done that. Rather than just a good surgeon. Are you getting it? Man, when you got a problem or something, you need to focus on the problem and get the wisdom on the problem. It's too easy when you're looking for stuff to go off in all kinds of ways because the mind is so, it's hungry for knowledge. And it's so easy to get caught up in all this other stuff. On the way, and then by the time you get there, you forgot what you got, what you went there for. Oh, I know, I'm just talking. Hallelujah, give me 14. Hallelujah, I'm just going to get this for a chapter done, I guess. Hallelujah. In whom? Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of a purchased possession unto the praise and the glory of God. Believe me, if you've done this with the Lord, you've given your heart to the Lord. Sign the contract. And don't let it go. Own it. Don't put it in a drawer someplace, and when something goes bad, you say, well, it's run out. This has an eternal warranty to it. It's not going to run out on you. Kids, listen to me right now. Because lots of times you get in the different places in the school, and I'll tell you, today they're passing the drugs in grade school. They're getting talked. They're getting talked into all kinds of crazy stuff. Are you listening to me, kids? Jesus is just as powerful in you as He is in me, or anyone else. And you call on Him, and you cry on Him, and you'll see. He will give you words of wisdom. He will give you courage you need. He will help you in your time of need. Hallelujah. That's the kind of grace we're talking about. This indwelling Spirit is not just to lift us up into some high elite level. It's to bring us functionable into the kingdom of God in our everyday life as well as in our spiritual revelations.
Amen.
Of understanding.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So there's an earnest, hallelujah, to our inheritance. There's a down payment, hallelujah. Don't let it go. Because you can. Go ahead. But He never lets you go. It's one thing I'm going to tell you. There's times we've let it go. But I got to tell you something. God is not a man that what? Neither what? Son of man that He should repent. If He spoke it, what will He do?
He'll do it.
No matter what anybody says. Hallelujah. Glory. If we can get this, hallelujah. If we can get this fire going, hallelujah, in the body of the churches, hallelujah, hallelujah, we'd be a lot further along.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Therefore, I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, hallelujah, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Pretty simple explanation there. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him on His own right hand in heavenly places. Hallelujah. That's the end? Okay, keep going. Far above all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, and every name that can be named, not only in this world. My God, you've got to hear this one. You see, I believe that if something happened to me and I died, that I'm still in Christ. I believe that the Word of God that's in me is has more life in it than the life that's within this body.
Yes.
And I mean in my conscience. I mean in my mind. I mean in my intelligent abilities.
All right.
Please know that. Because we're not fighting heaven. We're not fighting anything. We're just encouraging us to get on and become sons of God so that we might experience all that He is wherever we are. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now look at this. And it says, far above all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, and every name that is named, not only that is in this world, but also in that which is to come. Keep going, honey. Glory to God. And hath put all things under His feet and given Him to be the head over all things to the church. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I mean, these are all explanatory, self-explanatory statements. Everyone's a statement. Another one. That's it. That's good. Hallelujah. I knew it was in the 20s. Glory to God. I could pop it up, but I'd rather do it this way. Hallelujah. Now, we're talking about the number three, three-dimension grace. And even though it looks as though it's personal, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond an established church. It goes to an established church. This is a letter of commendation. Of saying, you have made it this far. You are the church of Ephesus. And these are the structures in which you have been developed in. Isn't that something?
It is. Amen.
Hallelujah. And I want to say that about this church.
Yes.
glory to God. That the people that you see, please, if they believe that Jesus died for them, that is the beginning start of God moving in their life forever. Encourage them wherever you can. And don't try to dictate to them something else. As relationship is developed, opportunity will arise on both sides. And as opportunity arises, we just keep bringing them further and further and further. And guess what? And we are coming further and further and further in Christ.
Yes, amen.
This is not a rebel faction of a government that's going to take over the world in a rebel way. And we will not pick up arms and fight for our cause. We will call on a God that is above every principality and every power in heaven and in earth and under the earth. Mighty God. Israel overcame every time when they come back in line with God's promises. And He never wavered. He never made them better or worse. He made them the best right off the bat. And as they came in line with Him, then everything else came in line. And their promises all came in line. And their increases all came in line. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand. Do we have anyone that needs prayer this morning?